Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Continue in the theme of the blueprint, and my text this morning would be taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 7. And I can just give it to you from memory, and it's basically this: for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I just want to talk on this same theme, your blueprint. So I pray that you would just give me, just focus your mind. I want to drop just hopefully what will be a nugget that will add value to your life. And once again, may the Lord bless you and may he keep you. To all of our guests, we appreciate you being here. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. So to all of you graduates, of course, congratulations on all your achievements. We're here to honor you this morning, your hard work, your effort, your diligence, your dedication, your discipline, and focus for the past 12 years. But not only are we here to honor you, but we're also here in a way to honor your parents, your grandparents, and all the family members who have given their support. I read a saying a long time ago, and that's this: if you see a turtle on a fence post, you can be sure of one thing: he didn't get there by himself. And you didn't get there by yourself. You had a lot of family support, grandparents and parents and loved ones who have supported you. But now as you have crossed this finish line called high school and you've gotten your diploma, now you're going to enter into another race. And this race is now as you transition into young adulthood. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 23 and 7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, God created every one of us in this room this morning to solve a problem. You may not realize this, but every job requires you to solve a problem. You are called to solve a problem. See, a dentist solves a tooth problem. A doctor solves a health problem. A lawyer solves a legal problem. A mechanic solves a car problem. I could just continue to go on. An educator solves an education problem. All of us this morning are called to solve a problem. And if you want to really break it down into its simplest form, you have to decide what problem you want to solve. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really know what problem I want to solve. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. If you don't, think of it this way. What if every job in the world paid the same exact wage of $10 an hour? From the President of the United States, to a doctor, to a lawyer, to an educator, to someone who enjoys cleaning, you name it, across the whole spectrum from A to Z. What if every job in the world paid $10? Everything pays $10. Then what would you want to do? Because many times what we do is we choose to go after what we think is going to pay us the great amount of wages. And while there's nothing wrong with getting paid well for what you do, I don't think that great wages should be the driving force of what you do. It should be looking at your natural gifts, your natural abilities, and deciding what I'm naturally gifted for, what I'm naturally gifted at, then how can I take that and earn a living in this world? I'm going to give you a quick example. I did not feel that I really got a good high school education. I didn't graduate summa cum laude. I graduated, thank thee, Lordy. And because of that, I felt like I really did get an inferior education, and I'm not going to go into that story. And I'm going to be embarrassed to admit this to you, but in hopes of being transparent to try to help you, I want to say this, and that is when I went into college, I went into college because I wanted to go. I really wasn't pressed by any of my parents. My parents didn't press me. I wanted to go. And I went, and here's what I'm embarrassed to admit to you. When I went to take college algebra, I had to drop it twice because I couldn't pass it. And to this day, I don't like college algebra. Sorry, teachers. I know you believe there's a reason for it, but I never could find it. And I didn't like it. Yes, because of my tenacity, I did go on and I did pass it. But here's my point. I could step into a public speaking, a communications class, and I really wouldn't have to study. And I could get up, and I was never afraid to get up in front of people, and I could make an A, and it was easy. It just came easy for me. And yet, when you do a little bit of research, you find out that one of the greatest fears of Americans is public speaking. But that wasn't one of mine. So I chose not to go into algebra and to be a teacher in math because public speaking came real easy for me. Now, here's what I want to say to you. Every one of you are gifted. Just as you have fingers and toes and you were born with that, you were born with gifts, you were born with abilities, and you were born with talents. As Janet so well communicated to us last week, don't let society try to shape you into something you're not. Don't go seeking after the almighty dollar. Find out who you are and what you're naturally gifted at and what you enjoy, and take those gifts, those talents, and the abilities, and then be the very best that you can possibly be. Educate yourself. Prepare yourself as you begin this new transition into adulthood. And when you do that, someone says that if you do what you enjoy doing, you never work a day in your life. Can I get an amen? Now, I just want to come alongside you this morning in a very gentle way and just hope that you would pick a career not based solely on money. Because if you break the word down career, and this is a little rude, but I hope you get the point. Career, if you break it down, is C-A rear. And if you get a career, that's basically what you see. But if you get a calling, you break that word down, see all. There's a big difference. I'm going to just talk to you out of my heart here. I don't even know if I'm going to stick with my notes, but some people believe that to be called, you have to be a minister. I don't believe that. I believe that educators are called to educate. I believe that physicians are called to help heal. I believe that lawyers, and yeah, because we all have disputes. As much as you may disagree with me, and you can disagree with me on that one, I still believe that all of us are called. And that you have to find out, what is God calling me to do, and what problem is God calling me to solve? Because graduates, listen to me. Hopefully I can take 50 years and say something worthy this morning. Is God already has your life planned out. God's not up there twiddling his thumbs wondering, what am I going to do with Carly? What am I going to do with Jamie? What am I going to do with Eva? What am I going to do with Parker? God's not thinking that at all. He already knows what he wants to do with you. He placed those gifts and abilities in you as sure as you got little fingers and you got little toes. He placed it in you. Now it's in you to figure out what is inside of me. How am I gifted? What do I enjoy doing? And then take that to earn a living. I believe law enforcement officers are called by God. We all have a calling, and you don't have to be a priest or a prophet or a pastor to have a calling. Find out what that see all is and get that vision and then run to that vision. Do more than have a career. Have a calling and pursue it with all of your heart. Did that make sense? I want you to think about this. I want you to look up on the screen. A bar of iron costs $5. If you make it into horseshoes, it can sell for $12. If you take that same bar and make it into needles, it's worth $3,500. Are you with me? If you take that same bar and make it into balance springs for watches, it becomes worth $300,000. In other words, your value is determined by what you're able to make of yourself. And many times what we do is we sell ourselves so short. And we don't see the potential that is within us. And we sell ourselves, so to speak, for $5 when there's $300,000 in that same bar. Are you with me this morning? Graduates, do not shortchange yourself. I don't know every environment that you were raised up in, but if your environment wasn't the most positive, listen, replace those old tapes with God's truth. You are who God says you are, and you can do what God says you can do, and there's greatness in you. I'm sorry that I'm crying, but this is near and dear to my heart. There is greatness in you. And just because some authority figure said that you couldn't do it, or you're not good enough, or you should be more like someone else, I just want to encourage you, replace those old tapes with God's truth. Memorize Ephesians 1. You are valuable. You are acceptable. You are lovable. God is crazy about you. If he has a refrigerator, your picture's on it. If he carries a wallet, your picture's in it. Don't shortchange yourself. There is greatness in you. In many ways, though, our mind is our biggest obstacle to growth. Our mind is like a set of blueprints. I'm going to just take just a few more minutes. Let's see. This is not a blueprint. But you get it. This is a blueprint. And many times, our mind is like a blueprint. The set of blueprints determine the size and the shape of a building. Just as a set of blueprints determines the size and the shape of a building, our thinking determines the size and the shape of us. We can see ourselves as just a bar of iron only worth $5, or we can say, you know what, I'm going to take my gifts and my abilities, I'm going to make something of myself, because I'm not going to just work to be blessed, I'm going to work to be a blessing. You know how this building was built? Because your parents not only were just earning a dollar, they were also willing to give a dollar. Does that make sense? We're not just blessed to be blessed so we can have however many pair of shoes we want. We're also being a blessing so that we can bless people around the world, so that the sun never sets on the gospel, and we can be proud of the fact that we are supporting missions around the world. But it takes dollars to do that. So here we are. If a person is going to build a 400 square foot building and then decide all of a sudden they want to build a 14,000 square foot building, the blueprint is going to have to change. Are you with me? You can't build a 14,000 square foot building on a 400 square foot slab. You can't do it. Things aren't going to turn out right. So the concept is basically the same. Our life will never rise higher than our mental blueprint. Are you with me? In other words, if a person's mental blueprint in their mind is for low wages, this is all I'm worth, I'm not worth very much, I can't do very much, this is, you know, who this one said I was, then guess what? Because that's your mental blueprint, you're never going to rise above that. But if you're willing to trade old tapes for God's truth and say, yes, that may be their blueprint, but I can write another one. Just because they chose to live that way doesn't mean I have to choose that for myself. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Start thinking, you know what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. This one may have decided not to do this, but that doesn't mean I have to. Does that make sense? So when you understand the power of a blueprint and you take that example, then it becomes easy to understand how our belief systems are so important. The only way to change what is around us is to change what is in us. I know this is a little heavy, but you're graduates now. The only way to change what is around you is to change what is in you. Most people wish things were different. I sure wish things were different. I wish I knew how to play the piano. Okay? But they're not always willing to let go of old ways of thinking. And I'm not talking about changing our doctrine. I'm not talking about changing our beliefs. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to changing our mental blueprint for greater growth in our lives. The fact is, our character, our thinking, and our beliefs are a critical component of our level of accomplishment. Now, this is a strong statement, so strap in. But things around us only reflect what is in us. For example, it's difficult to build a 14,000 square foot building on a 400 square foot slab. This being said, the vast majority of people simply do not choose the mental blueprint for greater growth. Graduates, stay focused. The only thing that is fair about life is that it treats us all unfair. Everybody's going to get thrown a curveball. Nothing's going to always be perfect every day. The sun's not going to always shine and it be 72 degrees and life is just a slide. Are you with me? That's never the case. All of us will face challenges one way or another. So the size of the problem is not the problem. What matters is the size of you. What matters is not what is around you so much as what is in you. Are you going to be just that $5 little slab of iron? Are you going to take that and make it valuable? Take the gifts and the abilities that are in you and say, this is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm hurrying. It's not necessary that the paper. Y'all give me just a minute. It's not necessary that the paper changes if I want my life to be different. It's not the paper. It's the blueprint. On this sheet of paper, I can build something for 400 square feet. On the same sheet of paper, I can build something for 1,400 or 14,000. It's not the paper. It's the blueprint. Okay? When people come into this building, they don't come in and say, show me the blueprint. I've never had one person ask me that unless it was a contractor. Other than that, people come in and say, oh, this building is so beautiful. Wow. They never said, show me the blueprint. But you know what? This building wouldn't be here if there wouldn't have been a blueprint. But you know what started this building? Well, somebody had a thought. And somebody said, this is the way I want this building to look. But it first started in their mind. And then it went to the paper. And then a GC, a general contractor, looked at it and said, yeah, we can do that. And it started going up. But it wasn't the paper. Are you with me? Don't get so focused on yourself that you forget what true greatness is not the little face you see in the mirror. What true greatness is what's on the inside of you. And you can choose to build your life a 400 square foot, or you can choose to build it 14,000 or 21,000. It's not the paper, sweetheart. It's how you think. And it's what you decide. This is going to be my blueprint. This is the way I believe God is leading me. See, this right here, in a sense, stay with me and I'm almost done. This right here, in a sense, is the seed. Right? This is the fruit. But you got to have the seed in order to get the fruit. You don't see really the seed. Oh, you do initially. But people don't come and say, show me the seed. People come and say, show me the fruit. But you don't get fruit without roots. You don't get fruit without the seed. And you have to decide, what is the blueprint of my life? What is that going to look like? Because now, guess what? You're going to have to draw that up. You're going to have to decide that. What is my natural giftings? What is my natural talents? What do I feel like God wants me to do? Have I just made sense? So guess what? Don't draw little. Don't think little. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This paper can handle whatever you decide to put on it. You can do what you want to do as long as you're operating within those gifts and abilities. Now, it's going to be hard for a 4-foot guy to play in the NBA. So I'm not saying you can just do anything. I'm saying you can be the best at what you're gifted to do. Educate yourself and prepare yourself for what God has given you. And then when you do that, guess what? You're going to be the success that God wants you to be. Would you stand? I'm going to give you just this short example. If you've ever gone into a computer and you've typed out a letter, and then you printed that letter out and you saw there was a typo on the letter. If you went and got an eraser and you tried to erase that typo and then go back and press print again, and then it prints out that same typo, and you're like, I erased that. How come it didn't come out different? So then you print it again, and it's still there, so you decide, you know what, I'm going to go get a book, and I'm going to read on how to erase mistakes. So then you print it out again after you read the book, but it didn't change in the letter. I want y'all to follow me. It's not what you're printing out. You got to go back in the program. You can erase that all day, but if you keep pressing print, it's going to keep printing the typo. You got to go back into the program and change that. So then when you press print, it's doing what you want to do. What are you saying, Pastor? This is where it's at. If you're not liking the results that you're getting, you don't just keep pressing print and keep waking up tomorrow and keep doing the same thing. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I got to go back in here and change old tapes to God's truth. I got to go back. Because see, boy, I could talk for... That's why I went to communications. I could talk a long time on this. Because people are wondering why. How come my life is not really... You have a mental blueprint, whether you know it or not. Behind every behavior, there's a belief. I'm going to say that again. Behind every behavior, there's a belief. And you have to decide, if this is not turning out the way I like it, then what is my beliefs behind this? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And if I don't like it, then I have to go back into what is my mental computer. Is this helping anybody? See, the reason why people can earn money and not keep money is because they don't value money. See, people look at money as what it can buy me. They don't look at money as the power that it gives me to make a choice. See, money doesn't make you better. Money gives you a choice. Instead of driving a Pinto, you can maybe drive something a little nicer. But if you see money only as something that I use to make me happy, then you're always going to be looking for happiness and never have money. You got to change the way you see it. You got to change your blueprint. I could get real deep into that, but I'm not going to. I'll stop with this. So, Pastor, how do I change my blueprint? Here's what Romans 12 and 2 says. Be not conformed to this world. The culture of this world, you guys, if you allow, it will just sweep you away. And you'll want to, the culture of this world is to be famous, to be wealthy, to be rich, to be known. But what's so hilarious about that is when they get famous, then they put on wigs and sunglasses and try to avoid everybody. They got what they thought they wanted and then realized, I don't know that this is really what I want. Don't get swept into the culture of what the culture says is important. Because you can have it today and lose it tomorrow. So how do I change my blueprint? You have to do it according to Romans 12 and 2, which says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Read great books, which is the greatest is the Word of God. Read that Word. Replace old tapes with God's truth. Good books. Get God's view of yourself. Graduates, memorize. I'm going to give you homework. Here it is. You thought you were out of school? No. Here's your homework. Memorize the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. Memorize it. See yourself the way God sees you. Then lastly, use your mind and use your mouth to work for you. Stop saying, oh, I'm just so stupid. The word stupid was a curse word in our house. It was never allowed to be said. If Trey and Molly ever said that, I would get on them. Like white on rice, don't you dare say that. God doesn't make any junk. You're not stupid. You may not know how to do that, but you're not stupid. I can do all things through Christ. Let your mind and your mouth work for you. And if you don't like something, go in there and change that mental computer. Change that blueprint, because God's got greatness in you. And He wants you to succeed. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. He wants to prosper you. He wants to do you good. Janet, would you come up here, please? You say, Pastor, why are you crying? Because I love you. And I care deeply about you. And I want you to do so good. You see this beautiful sweetheart? Janet was sexually abused, physically abused, emotionally and verbally abused. And we won't get into that. But if you were just to look at her, you would never know it, would you? You know why? Because somewhere she did the hard work to change her mental blueprint and said, that may be where I come from, but that's not who I am, and that's not what I am. And what you see when you look at Janet, you see a very godly, sweet lady. But somewhere she had to change some things, and it's not easy. And that's why most people live their life in circles, because it's not easy to go into that computer and say, you know what, this is where I came from, but this is not who I am. But I'm just here to tell you not to put Janet on a pedestal. We don't want to be on a pedestal. The only person we want on a pedestal is Christ the King. That's all. But I brought her up here to just let you know, a little girl born not too, raised not too far from here in Westlake. All I'm just telling you is this, guys and girls, if my wife can do it, you can do it. Whatever you can do, whatever you set your mind to, you can do it. We love you. Congratulations on all your effort and hard work. We're very proud of you. Lord, we just thank you for your presence today.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.